views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to experience the truth. Welcome to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Truth Talk Radio is the hit show that will illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. Unleash your intuitive nature while Deb helps you stop looking outside yourself for value and happiness, break through patterns, and move into your authentic truth at lightning speed. Truth Talk Radio will leave you feeling lighter, help you live with more presence, passion, and clarity, and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Now, here's your host, Deb Acker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deb Acker, and you are listening to Truth Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hour as I help you experience the truth, nothing but the truth. Each month on the first and third Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'll be talking about the most recent energies coming through and interviewing some of the most gifted, inspiring, and unique souls, speakers, and authors, all to help you to move into more light, love, and of course, truth. And before we get started today, I'd like to start out today's show with an intention. And my intention for today's show is that everyone that needs to hear this conversation hears it, and that you leave feeling expansive, inspired, lit up with new awarenesses and clarity, ready to take new action. And so with that, on today's show, you know, I want to really talk about some of the energies that I've been seeing coming through on my end, coming through with the clients that I've been working with. And one of the biggest things that's been coming forth, and I think this is a really, really common pattern for most, if not all people. Most of us are probably not aware that we're doing it, but it is super common. And this pattern is all around where we leave ourselves. And first of all, I think it's important to establish the foundation of this, which is pretty much rooted in every human being I've ever met on some level. The foundation of it is all around feeling like we're not enough, right? Feeling like we're not good enough. And, you know, this can show up in many ways, right? So, you know, just kind of tune in for yourself and just tune in. It's like, where do you feel not good enough, right? Where does that show up for you? And that might show up where, you know, you feel self-doubt and you're not sure what to do and you're not sure of the steps to take forward and to move forward with. You know, it can show up where you let yourself be treated a certain way in a relationship, where you're, you know, you accept something that's less than you desire or deserve, which is definitely always, it's all rooted around scarcity, right? And feeling that scarcity feeling. So just noticing like those pieces of yourself where you show up in your life as not enough. Right. So I just gave you two examples. You know, there's other examples where I think basically most of the time it's rooted in, you know, many times we don't even take action on something we desire because we're feeling insecure. We're not feeling like we're good enough, or maybe we don't even feel worthy of what it is that we're wanting. That's a very interesting example, because if you look at in your life where you don't feel worthy of what it is that you're truly desiring and wanting in your life, and how that impacts your choices, right? You know, do you stay in an environment, whether it's a relationship, it's a career, whatever the case is, do you stay in an environment that doesn't make you feel good, right? Do you stay in an environment that makes you kind of miserable, right? So it's really, really important to note for you where that shows up for you, where that in your life, where you're not honoring, you know, we get trained, we get conditioned to think that we need to be perfect, right? Or do things perfectly or have the perfect life. I know when I was a kid, and I'm actually starting, I'm in the process of finishing my book. Let's put it this way. This past week, you know, my guides for the longest time have been kind of tapping me on the shoulder. It became a kind of a bigger poke, but they've been tapping me on the shoulder going, when are you going to write your book? Right. And so I finally have where I feel like I have, in my schedule, a little bit of open space where I'm not traveling every week or every weekend for my workshops. And so, you know, I decided to this past week to take a trip to Michigan. And anyone that's ever been to Michigan around this time of year, especially, but it's beautiful many times of the year, right? But anyone who's ever taken a trip around this time of year, it's so beautiful. You've got, especially the Lake Michigan side. It was interesting because I was reading this article about Lake Michigan and kind of all the different towns. And it was like, I think he described Lake Michigan, the Lake Michigan side is like the creme brulee. And then the other lakes are like the jello. So it was an interesting analogy. Not if anyone lives on the other side, it's not meant to offend you in any way. So I ended up out in Lake Michigan and I'm writing my book. And my book is all about, it's all about the steps that I've taken to create a conscious life, right? It's the steps I've taken to not leave myself, right? It's the steps I've taken to really own my enoughness. And really it's how I play with consciousness and how I play with energy to create that. And it's all about, you know, many of you guys know my story. And so it's all about the story that I had of trauma when I was growing up where, you know, my dad left our family at a young age, and he was in my life my whole life. But, you know, he left my mom at a young age, and, you know, the impact of that and how that manifested, you know, or at least a piece of that manifested into my mom passing away when I was a teenager. And so that was a lot of trauma to experience for a really young age. And it's interesting because we're talking about, you know, in this today's conversation, we're talking about where we leave ourselves. And my dad leaving for me was at the root of what, of where I started leaving myself, right? It was at the root of where I got conditioned that I wasn't good enough and I wasn't worthy to, you know, to stay for. I wasn't worthy to stick around for. And so, you know, I've been writing this book and I've been talking about all these stories that I had around leaving myself, but also, just like I said, around my pain and my trauma and also different fun things that have happened as I've gotten on this path. Because it's interesting, like, you know, as I'm working with, you know, as I work with all my clients, it's really fun to see because they all of a sudden, you know, as you start to learn how to connect and tap into your energy, you know, our energy is, it's like, it's a, for me, what I consider it or what I think of it as is it's an untapped resource, right? You know, we're literally going through our life. And most of us get conditioned. This was myself included because I grew up in a very logical family. My mom was a teacher. My dad was an attorney in a family full of attorneys. And I got conditioned that that part of me was the piece that was right. That part of me was the part that was good or good enough, right? And so as I was growing up and you know feeding these parts of me, like I totally tuned out and wasn't connected to the energetic piece of me. I wasn't connected to the intuitive piece of me. And part of what I share in the book is these stories that I had growing up of where my intuition was in place, right? When I saw my intuition, the one example I'll give you right now. So years ago, I think if I have the timeline right, I think I was actually 11 years old. Going on 12, and we went to the movies. So I went to the movies. I grew up with my mother and my twin sister, and I went to the movies, and we're going to see Pretty Woman. That's at least how I remember it. So we went to the movies, and we're, you know, it was back in the time, I don't know how many of you guys remember, it still happens, but back in the time when, you know, when the movies were considered really expensive, and people would just kind of movie hop, so they would hop from one movie to the next. And they would walk in the middle and just, you know, they would kind of just do, you know, do whatever worked for them. And so it was one of these times, I think we were watching Pretty Woman and we're sitting in the movies and I'm really short. Like I'm very petite. I always say I'm 5 feet on a good day. So basically we're in the movies and we're sitting there watching and these people walk in and they sit right in front of me. And I can't see over, you know, over them. And I go and I put my feet up on this one of the people's chairs, right? And my mother's, you know, at times when she's like, "You're a real stinker." And that was one version of that. So, you know, my mother kind of slaps my knee and she's like, "You know, put your feet down." And I said, you know, loudly enough, so that they wouldn't hear, I was like, "They didn't pay to be here," right? And they heard me, and then they actually got up, and I don't know if they left the theater, if they got up and moved to seats where someone didn't know that they hadn't paid. But, you know, I just had that feeling, right? I just had that intuitive hit. And I remember my mom, I think later she asked me, she's like, "How did you know that?" I was like, I just knew that they had come in and they hadn't actually paid to be there. And not to say that that was a big deal or not, but it's like when you're going to block my viewing, I'm going to do something about it. Especially when I was younger, I was really, I was definitely very outspoken, like that. So, that's just one memory, but basically, you know, where we leave ourselves, there's many times we get conditioned where we think we need to be perfect, right? You know, when I was growing up, part of the messaging, like I grew up in the north suburbs of Chicago, and part of the messaging was that, you know, you get married, you have a family, you know, you go get another house in the suburbs, and that's life. Like, that's how you do life. That's how you have a successful life. And that's by definition what a perfect life looks like. And so we get conditioned to think like, this is how my life is supposed to be. This is where, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. And this is how I quote unquote have a perfect life. And part of my journey has been to really realize like, it's not about the perfection, right? Like when we get focused on that perfection, that's actually when we stifle the energy, right? That's when we hold back the energy, and we hold back the possibilities of what can happen. And also too, it's like the perfection is in the imperfection, right? The perfection is in the places where we can start to own the messy bits, right? The messy parts of life, and actually enjoy those and relish those and dive deeper into those. So, you know, as I was going on this journey and as I've gone on this energetic journey where I've started to realize how to work with your energy. So, like I said, we have this tool and we get conditioned to think that our mind is the, our mind is how you do it, right? Our mind is the way to actually, basically, be right, make things happen. If we listen to our mind, that's how we're successful. And there's this other huge tool. Like I said, it's like probably at least 50% of how you can create things in your life. And most of us are literally, the picture I see right now as I'm sharing this with you, most of us are literally pushing it down. Like, we're not even owning that that's a piece of ourselves, right? And so it's this tool though, like as you start to work with your intuition, as you start to work with your energy and recognize that like every single thing that you're thinking, every single thing that is coming up for you, every single thing that's in your field, you're creating, right? And so it's a big idea. So I actually want to say that again to make sure it lands for, you know, for everyone who's listening now and on the replay. Every single thing you're putting out in the world, you're actually creating. And so it's really, really important that you're actually attaching to the parts that you actually really want to create, you know. And we do it with our words, but we also do it with, like, you know, it's like if you're on, you know, say you're doing something for your business, right, or doing something at work, and if you think it's going to be successful, you're going to create a successful experience. If you think it's not going to be successful, you're going to create an unsuccessful experience. So it's really, really important. It's interesting too, because like even when you're sharing something, if you notice how you feel when you're sharing it. So if you feel fear, for instance, like if you're sharing, say you're up making a presentation, right? And if you feel fear, that's going to translate in your experience, right? But if you're actually feeling excited and you're feeling energized, that's something that also is going to translate in your experience. So it's really, really important to note that, you know, those places where we leave ourselves, you know, when you're feeling that fear, right, or when you're scared how something is going to go over, that can be a place where you end up leaving yourself, right? Where you're like, it's kind of like almost like you join the audience. I'll never forget. Like this was a couple years ago now. I was in medical sales, as many of you guys know. And this was like, actually, it may not even sound that way, but it was one of the most mortifying experiences I had. It was definitely probably the most mortifying experience I'd had in medical sales. And it was definitely maybe in the top five or top 10 that I had had in my life. Right. And so I'm standing up. It was really fascinating too. It was perfect. Like I did feel like after the fact, I felt like it was very synchronized, like or synchronistic that I was supposed to happen this way. But at the time it was just, it just was awful. So we had this, it was like my biggest client and I had put together a presentation and my manager at the time had decided he was going to join me on the presentation. And I'd put together the presentation and I had practiced it. So I was really polished. And presenting is one of those things it can be where it's scary to do, but I'm real, like when I practice it and I'm polished, it just really lands. And so I put everything together and I had my presentation perfectly put together. And as I stood up in front of the room, I was sharing and you could tell it was really landing and everyone was like, oh, and it just sounded really good. And I think my manager had never seen me present before. So I think he was actually surprised because he didn't actually realize like that was the strength of mine. And so so as I'm presenting, and it was so interesting because we got to one of the last slides and this note that I had made to ask my manager about like this question, I know, like I remember 150% fact, like deleting that note and then resaving the document. So I have no clue what happened, but whatever happened, I ended up being where this note, this huge note of like, ask your manager about this, was in the document. And everyone's looking and you could tell people could see it. And there was people smirking, right? It was very uncomfortable and it was very hard. And there was a moment in this presentation where I left myself, right? I'm like, oh my God, and it was, I think it was even worse having my manager at the time there because it was kind of like he's watching me too. So it's not just even me watching me. It's like him going, oh, she made this mistake, right? It's kind of like, I felt like it was easier to be a little incognito because I'd never met most of the people that were in that room. And so, I end up like, I just felt mortified by this presentation. And even though the presentation went well and we got the business and everything, it was one of those things where I went through this experience. So like that night and into the next day, I felt this feeling that I always felt when I actually would go on a date and I'd be going through a breakup, right? Where someone would have broken up with me or we would have broken up and I would have felt that feeling of being left, right? Where I felt abandoned. And so I remember having that same feeling. And at the time, I remember getting on the phone with my therapist. And I remember, asking her, I was like, why do I feel the same way that I feel when I've gone through like a serious breakup? And, I remember one of the pieces that we talked about is it was all around because I had left myself. So in that presentation, it was like I had joined the audience and I was almost like, I had stepped out, it felt like I'd stepped out of my body and I was like, I was making myself wrong during the presentation and so was everyone else. It was like, oh, she made a mistake. When really like our mistakes are just like they're human, right? It's like we're just going through life and every piece is about us growing. Every piece is about us expanding further. So it has nothing to do with any piece except for that, we get to choose how, like in that moment, I could have been like, oh my God, this is funny. Ha ha ha. There's a lot of ways I could have handled it, but instead I decided, like I said, to leave myself and make myself wrong. And so just notice in those places, like where you leave yourself, right? Where you're like, say for instance, you get rejected in some way. That's another way that we leave ourselves. So you get rejected and this rejection that you experience, ends up being where you, where you, again, you leave yourself, right? It's like you get on the team of the person who rejected you and you, it's like almost like you're standing outside of your body and, you're pointing a finger and like, you're like, you did this wrong. You should have done this differently. You would have had a different result. So, a huge part of where we leave ourselves is where we beat up on ourselves, right? It's where we, it's the places in, within ourselves where we go to beat up on ourselves and we go, okay, you're wrong. And as part of this too, it's like noticing, you know, a lot of people talk about our negative self-talk, right? But noticing that voice in your head and noticing that place of you where that's like what you're saying to yourself and that conversation you're having with yourself. And so many times, you know, the conversations that we have with ourselves are, we'd never in a million years say that to, you know, say that to someone else. But of course, we're saying it, you know, to ourselves. So, you know, all of those pieces are really, really important. And, you know, a piece of this around this whole leaving, and like I said, my experience of my dad leaving, and that was kind of the first time when I went, first time in this lifetime when I went through that trigger of being left. And it was the first time in this lifetime where I made myself wrong. And part of what happened, and this is a really important piece of consciousness for anyone that's ever gone through an experience with their parent. It doesn't have to be that your parent left you, but many times we go through these experiences and we assume that we could have done, you know, it's like we make ourselves wrong and we assume that we could have done something, you know, differently. You know, like I assumed in that moment with my dad subconsciously, of course, but I assumed it was my fault that he was leaving. And so it's really, really important for you to notice those places within yourself where you're like, you make it your fault that something has happened. And I want to say this, and I'm sure I've said this at some point on the show, but I think it's really, really important to share it again, this quote. What we say is about what people do is about them, and what we tend to take it as is that it's about us, right? So anything someone's doing, we tend to make it about ourselves, but truly the way they're showing up is about them. You know, for me, it's been interesting because you know, obviously like this, it's an interesting journey, like this journey to truth, right? And in the process, I've had a lot of people coming in front of me lying, right? And it's been an interesting experience because as I've taken this journey, I think I've always known when someone was lying, when someone was telling the truth. And now I actually just recognize like, wait, no, that's a lie. Like they're just lying to me, right? And it's an interesting thing, right? Because them lying is about them, right? It's about how they handle that experience. But so many times, you know, again, like they might be lying because they're uncomfortable to just tell you the truth about, oh, well, you know, this isn't working for us type thing, right? So instead they like make up some elaborate excuse. And I think we all have, you know, different versions where we don't know how to say no, we don't know how to share our truth, we don't know how to just communicate what we truly want. And instead we make up, either we make an excuse or we make up some elaborate story, lie, maybe, or maybe we only share a half truth. I mean, there's all these different versions of that. So noticing in your life where you don't just say the truth, right? Like it's very easy when we're looking to speak our truth. It's very easy where to just say, this is not aligned for me. You know, and I know I did an episode on all around speaking truth, right? And how we share that. But it's so easy. It's like no one can argue when you say, this is not aligned for me. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It's not aligned for me. And so just noticing those, you know, those places in yourself where instead, you know, again, you feel like the need to make up that elaborate some elaboration, excuses, and recognizing, and I think this is really the one of the keys to it, right? Recognizing that, you know, when you don't say clearly to the universe, no, when you don't say clearly to the universe, like, this is unacceptable. I don't want more of this or whatever version of that, right? You know, like if you don't want someone to say, like, you don't want to work with someone, instead of saying, no, I don't want to work with you, you're like, oh, no, I can't, you know, I can't afford it, or whatever version of that, you know, that comes into play. When you're, when you do that, you're not telling the universe clearly what you want more and less of. So I think it's really, really important to recognize that space where we don't, like, you know, those places of us where we're not super clear about it, and we forget, we don't realize that it's that piece, that place is are these opportunities, you know, this way that, you know, when we don't say, you know, say no to something, that's, you know, that's us saying to the universe, bring more of that, right? Instead, and that our no is an opportunity to tell the universe, don't bring me any more of this, right? This is what I want instead. And so, you know, we're talking about truth here, actually, and we're, you know, we're talking about leaving ourselves. And so, you know, before we go to break, you know, many of you guys have already downloaded it, but if you haven't gotten my Living in Your Truth guide, this is a 12-month guide. So when I say 12 months, it's literally one step per month, and I actually give you a bonus step. So it's 13 steps to living in your truth, right? And it's meant to be just where you take that one step, you know, you read a few pages of the chapter, and then you take that one step and you implement it throughout the month. Which means you don't have to implement it every single day for an entire month. It means, you know, we're human, right? You know, we're going through a human experience. So you get to just implement, you know, that one step, 2, 3, 4, or 5 days a month, and you just start to practice to bring it into, to integrate it as part of you, so that it actually, you know, moving towards more truth and living from truth becomes more part of you. And so when we come back, we're going to explore more of where we leave ourselves, and we will do an energy clearing at the end of today's episode. So I definitely encourage you to stick around. You are listening to Truth Talk, and I'm your host, Deb Acker. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk more about this fascinating topic. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit GlennaRice.com.
Bree Gibbs is a fourth-generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree's services and products, visit SilverGaia.com. That's SilverGaia.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk. I am your host, Deb Acker. On today's conversation, we are exploring the energies of where we leave ourselves. And while most of us are probably not aware that we're constantly doing this, this is occurring in so many places, in so many spaces, and so many times in our life. And so, you know, before we left the conversation, I was talking all about, you know, like parents leaving, right? And how that, the impact of that, and how that impacts where we leave ourselves. And I want to move into a little bit broader, and talk about, you know, the impact of trauma and abuse, on where we leave ourselves. And so, you know, many times, like, and can it just even be oriented around pain, right? It's at some point in our life, whether it's something big, you know, like, so we get to tend to think of like trauma or abuse, like especially abuse, that it's got to be something like physical. But there's so many times when these things that happen that, you know, like I never thought about my dad leaving or everything that had happened in my childhood as like traumatic. Like to me, that was my norm, right? So I never actually had thought about it. Interestingly enough, I had never thought about it as traumatic or as something bad that had happened. But what ended up happening with it is obviously it was very traumatic, and it ended up kind of cementing in me that I wasn't worth sticking around for. And so many times, you know, like I said, when we're experiencing some sort of pain, you know, I had a client I was working with where he was home one day. So this is like a small little thing, right? That you may not even make a big deal out of it because, you know, of course our parents are doing the best that they can at any moment. But so he's, you know, at home one day, and I think if I remember the story correctly, his parents had left him at home. And I don't know if they had left him at home with a sibling or by himself, but they had left him at home just very briefly. Like maybe they were just running out to the store for just a few minutes. And it was like a thunderstorm outside, and he didn't know if his parents were going to come home, right? And so here's this thing where, you know, his parents like left him alone just for a small period of time, and they didn't probably even dawn on them that he would be scared or that he wasn't sure if they were coming back. And even just something as small as your parents like running to the store, and if you have this moment where you're like terrified or you're scared they're not going to come home, that can be very traumatic. And so I think it's interesting because we're, you know, like I said, we're conditioned to think of trauma or think of abuse as something physical, or, you know, we all know about emotional abuse too, but we don't tend to think of these small moments that happen when we're a kid that they could also be abusive, right? You know, I remember my dad saying, he said something to me, and when I was a little girl, I was kind of a stinker as a little kid. I was very obstinate. I think that's the right word. And I was just very determined, which has very, very much served me well in my adult life. But when I was a little girl, always was like, I was very positive about a lot of things. And I remember my dad saying to me at one point, he's like, oh, we know when Deb's right, she's wrong, right? And it was in that moment. So this is something just like small, and of course it was harmless, and he had the best of intentions with it. It had nothing to do with anything related, you know, to anything, right? But in that moment, I made a decision, an unconscious decision that I would never choose to know to be right or to know again. Right? I made this decision, like, I will never be right again, because if I'm right, that means I'm wrong inherently. And so it's very interesting how just these small moments that happen when we're kids and we're growing up and we're just going through life, you know, those can be very traumatic or very, you know, they can be abusive, right? It could be even like where your parents are disciplining you. But in the process, again, in that, you know, when many times when we're experiencing any form of trauma or abuse, many times we end up, like, especially when it's abuse, like you end up leaving, right? Subconsciously or unconsciously, or maybe even consciously, you leave your body, right? Because it's too painful to be present in that moment or to be experiencing what you're experiencing. And so instead you end up just leaving yourself, or you leave your body. So that's another place where we get conditioned, like, okay, like I can't stay here, right? I can't stay here right now. I'm going to leave myself. And then when we find ourselves over and over again in this pattern of escape, right? So like, you know, when I say escape, you know, many times with our emotions, we get, conditioned to stuff it down, push it away, you know, escape from it. So what happens when that abuse is occurring is we end up, like, we find a way to leave, right? We find a way to leave mentally. We find a way to leave emotionally. We find a way to not be present. And so then we go through life, and when something painful is happening, maybe it's not even abuse, right? But when something's painful is happening, we don't know how to actually stay with ourselves, right? And part of that is that we leave ourselves because we think we did something wrong to deserve what's happening to us. So it's important to know, like, if you've ever gone through this in your life, and like, this is one of the things, like, I work with clients, like, part of what I like love working on, because I think, you know, we get conditioned to think that our abuse and our trauma and our pain has to define us for the rest of our lives. And, you know, through my own journey and through the many hundreds of people that I have helped and served and supported through that entire journey, I've seen time and time again where you can actually clear that abuse, right? So that abuse or that trauma doesn't have to be, doesn't have to define you for the rest of your life. And it can be something that can take you, you know, that you can use to allow it to fuel you, right? So you clear it out, so it's not something that you're carrying around, so it's not something that you're magnetizing over and over again, whether it's in small ways where, you know, somebody yells at you, you know, on the highway or whatever, or in big ways, obviously, where you're, you know, physically, sexually, emotionally abused. It doesn't have to always define you like that. And so I know we get conditioned where we think it's just something we have to manage for the rest of our lives. And I'm here to tell you, like, if you truly want to choose it, right, and you're ready to move out of that and you're ready to stay with you, right, and not leave you, and you're ready to choose to say, like, I'm taking a stand for myself, and I'm taking a stand for myself at all costs. Because part of this pattern and part of that energy of that place where we leave ourselves is us kind of just making that conclusion that we're not worth it, right? We're not worthy. We're not worth it. And so then when we go to create a life that we actually truly want, right, you know, maybe we have a desire to be an artist, right? Or we have a desire to create something in our lives, whether it's around relationship, it's around career, it's around family, whatever. When we have that desire, that voice in our head is saying, well, I'm not worth it, right? I'm not meant to have this. This isn't for me, right? And so you can take that journey. And many times we need help, right? Because for me, like, I had many guides and many helpers along my path to show me the way to, like, how do you clear this pain, right? How do you clear this trauma that's happened? You know, I know when I was first, all throughout my 20s, you know, a huge part of my story was attracting the same type of person over and over and over again. And as I was doing this, like, every single time that they would leave or, you know, we'd break up, every single time it was very painful. Like, it was like I was re-experiencing what had happened when I was 2 years old and my dad leaving. I was re-experiencing that over and over and over again. And so as I was getting started on this journey, you know, so that kept happening. And it's interesting because in the book that I'm writing, I talk about it's really interesting because I think one of the biggest pieces that we fail, that most humans were not wired to see it this way, and trust me, even 5 years ago, I would not have been wired to see it this way. But, you know, I now talk about, like, my dad and my dad leaving at the age of 2. For me, that was the impetus to where I am now, right? So, you know, it's like one way that we can start to step into forgiveness around, you know, our parents that were doing the best that they could in that moment, and yet, you know, things happen, bad things happen, mistakes happened. One of the ways that we can start to, you know, reframe that and step into that forgiveness is to realize that our pain so many times, our pain, our trauma, our abuse can be the impetus for change. And so had he not left, I probably, you know, and had I not experienced that kind of pain, you know, over and over and over again, had he not left, I don't know that I would have got, you know, would have gone on this path and had this awakening and now be doing the work that I, you know, that I was meant to do in the world, right? And so I believe that I did choose it that way. I do believe, and I know it can be an out there idea for some, I believe we choose our parents, and I do believe, so I believe that I, you know, I had many lifetimes of being left. I mean, I had a lifetime where I was in an orphanage. I mean, there was a gazillion lifetimes where I've experienced that energy. And in this lifetime, I definitely feel like I chose my dad because I was like, okay, I need to be able to access this energy. And yes, you can access, you know, time and space is an illusion. That's a whole other conversation. But time and space really doesn't exist and it's an illusion. So yes, you can access it in other, you can feel into other lifetimes. But it's a lot easier when you have something that you, that's a strong memory that you can access from this lifetime. So I do believe that I chose, you know, my dad to have that experience, you know, and it happened at such a young age. And I knew, like, it's like when I look at that energy and it's kind of like, you know, there's infinite possibilities of the way any one life can play out. So it's not to say like this was meant how it was meant to go, right? But one of the possibilities that I was shown was sort of this path that I'm on now, right? Where it's like just all of this amazing things are unfolding just as a result of a literally, you know, that one moment, right? And so I would encourage you, you know, to start to tune in and ask, like, you know, like, how can I use what's happened to me to expand and grow as a being and as a soul? And how can I use that, you know, to make the world a better place? And again, I talk about trauma and I talk about abuse, like, oh, it doesn't have to be something big, right? I mean, many, like, our parents are always doing the best that they can, but at any one given moment, things are happening where we're making these subconscious and unconscious conclusions. And at the heart of the work that I do, it's all oriented around helping people to recognize the conclusions that were made in that moment. So I'll give an example that happened in a session with one of my clients yesterday. Basically, we were talking about her father and her relationship with her dad. And she got the fact that she was like, yes, my dad was always doing the best that he could. You know, he was always doing the best that he could in any one given moment. And he used to go to work. And so basically she didn't see him a lot, right? And so the energy she ended up picking up from that was that money was taking her father away from her, right? Because he was always focused on money. And of course, again, he had the best interest for his family. He was just trying to bring in money for his family. But as a result, she never felt connected to him, right? She never had time with him. So she ended up making money wrong, you know, subconsciously. She ended up making money wrong. And she ended up making this subconscious conclusion that money was the reason why she didn't have her father around, right? So guess what didn't happen when she would go to bring money into her life? You know, she would be able to bring it in, but she wouldn't actually be able to sustain it, right, or keep it. Because, of course, subconsciously she had this belief that money had hurt her so badly, right? Money was the reason why her father wasn't around in her life the way she wanted him to be. And if you look at that, think about that, right? So, you know, I've had done many shows on, you know, abundance and bringing in money. And if you look at like that conclusion and you wonder why it's like, okay, why am I not bringing money into my life? If you look at all of those, of course you're not gonna, right? Because money's like, you're making money wrong. And then you're like, it's like, I've talked about how money, you know, money being a lover, right? And it's like, if you're making money wrong, you know, like, it's like, if you were making your lover wrong, would that person want to be around? Probably not. So, you know, it's really, really important to look at those places and look at these, like I said, these subconscious conclusions. I mean, we're all just doing the best that we can. And we, like, at any one given point, there's these things happening and we're making conclusions about that. And we're not, you know, when we're before the age, I think it's like before the age of 7, we're not conscious of, oh, wait, this conclusion, like, I'm making this conclusion right now. Or I'm determining that this is my truth in this moment. Right? And so if you think about moments like that, and then you think about thousands of moments of like that happening, and it's no wonder, you know, we're literally carrying around all this baggage, right? We're carrying around all this stuff. And so I just think it's important to really mention those pieces. And part of too, you know, these spaces where we leave ourselves, you know, those spaces, those pieces where we leave ourselves, you know, we we determine, it's kind of like we leave ourselves and then we determine we're not going to let, you know, anyone get close to us again, right? You know, it's like, because in these moments we're like, when I allowed someone to get close to me, they hurt me, right? You know, if I look at like what happened with my dad when I was 2 years old, right? It's like I could have easily made the conclusion, and I'm sure I did on some level, where it was like, I'm not going to have people get close to me because when they get close to me, I could get hurt, right? So then we play out these patterns. It's very important to notice, like, where do you play out patterns? Like, I see many, there's many clients I see where we have these beliefs where we need to go it alone. And so we create scenarios where we're not fully supported and we're not calling in and bringing in the help that we need, right? That we're meant to have. And so it's just really, really important to notice, like, where in your life are you creating a situation where you're not fully supported, right? Where in your life are you projecting that someone isn't going to want you around on some level, right? Want you around at work, want you around in relationship, you know, and where are you thinking like, oh my, I have to do this all myself? Because that's a way, you know, that we show up defended. Right. So many times, you know, in order to not have to acknowledge those places of us where we made ourselves wrong, we literally keep standing in our righteousness and defending ourselves and trying to just focus on what's right about us over and over and over again. But as a process, what ends up happening is we put these layers up, you know, over and over and over again. Right. So we put these layers, these pieces, these layers up that we have. And then, you know, and then when someone tries to get close to us, for instance, we don't let them get close, right? You know, like, it's interesting because I was, I may have talked about this, I don't know, but, my stepmom had a stroke, like a year and a half ago, or a little shy of a year and a half ago. And a family friend of mine had recommended a book that would really support my dad during this time. And so I showed him this book, and I know my dad well enough to know that, you know, like I knew it would really support him, and I knew that he probably wouldn't accept the help, right? And so it's just, it's important to notice those places in ourselves where we're like, I got this, I can do it all myself, and where we're not open to receiving that guidance, right? Or the wall that we put up. And like I said, many times the reason why we put up this wall is because it's like we're scared we're going to like that someone's going to find out about those pieces of us that aren't perfect, right? You know, we feel like we need to be defended. And I'm sure that there's times in other lifetimes where if we weren't defended or we weren't on guard, where we actually were killed in other lifetimes. So it's just really, really important to notice like what piece of you shows up, because one of the most common energies I'm seeing right now is these ways that we feel we feel defended, right? And we're like basically everyone else is doing something wrong except for us, right? Those places where we're like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm fine. You're the problem. And everything that comes in, I know I've said this a million times, but everything that comes in our field, all of that is connected and related to, all of it has a message for us, right? All of it is meant to show us more of ourselves, and all of it is just a reflection of ourself. So anything you're experiencing in your outer world, any way that you're showing up, it's a reflection of something that lives within you. So it's important to take that step back and go, okay, you know, when you see something you don't like in another person, where does this live in me? Right? What is this meant to show me? But where does this live in me? And what, you know, what am I meant to see with this? And how can I use what I'm seeing right now to make a shift, to make a change, especially if it's something that's triggering you, right? Because if it's triggering you, like I said, it lives in you. And if it's triggering you, you probably likely don't want to be showing up that way for other people. So it's just important to recognize that. And so I want to finish, you know, today's call. I want to finish with a energy clearing. And so, you know, for those of you guys who are new to energy clearing, basically what we're going to do is we're going to bring light all the way through the body. And I always say the light is the truth of who we are, and it's the truth of who we came here to be. So we're going to bring light all the way through the body. And then I'm going to have you expand that light out 5 feet, 10 feet, all the way out to the entire universe. And I always say that this is the return to infinite possibilities. And this is the return to us being infinite beings in a body. And so with that, and then just so you know, like basically what I will say after that, you know, after we were connected to the light, I'm just going to say something like everywhere in our childhood where we made ourselves wrong. And I want you to see that coming out of your body. And then I'm going to have you breathe in light. I'm going to have you breathe in love, and I'll have you breathe in openness. So I'll give you some positive alternatives to breathe in. If there's something else that pops in for you that you need to breathe in, definitely feel free to breathe that in as well. Another positive alternative. But otherwise, you can just breathe in the options that I'm giving you. And so with that, just go ahead and close your eyes. And just taking a nice deep breath, just breathing in through your nose and filling your belly and the sides of the body, the chest and the legs with air. And just exhaling out. And one more time, just breathing in through your nose and filling your belly, the sides of the body, the chest and the legs with air. And just exhaling out. Good. And just connecting to the light that's 300 feet above your head. And we naturally do this when we pray. So just see, sense, or feel that light. And beginning to allow this liquid light to come down in through your forehead, down past your eyes, down past your nose and ears, down past your mouth and into your neck. Good. And down across your shoulders, down into your heart and into your solar plexus, which is right underneath your chest, down into your stomach and gut, and into your hips. Good. It's just liquid golden light coming down your legs and out through your feet. And just connecting into the center of the earth, the center of the earth that feels like mother's love. It's all ooey and gooey and warm and nurturing. And just bringing that light back up through your feet, up through your legs, up through your torso, and up through your face. And one more time, just imagining a liquid light shower, a liquid fire hose of light, a liquid ray of light, a liquid beam of light, just coming down, covering every crevice of your face. Good. Down your neck. Good. And across your shoulders and down your torso, down your hips, down your legs, and out through your feet. And back up through your feet, up through your legs, up through your torso, and up through your face. And just expanding that from above and below, expanding that out 5 feet, expanding that out 10 feet, and all the way out past the city that you're in. Good. And all the way out past the state or country you're in, wherever you are. And all the way out past the entire continent you're on, wherever you're located. Expanding out past the entire world, just past all the countries and continents. And out past the entire universe, past all the planets, past all the galaxies, past all the stars. And just everywhere that you are making yourselves wrong, everywhere that you are not enough, everywhere that you're playing out some version of wrongness, everywhere you stand in your righteousness to make yourself, because inherently that there's an inherent feeling of wrongness. So any version of wrongness, any version of not feeling like you're enough, just exhaling that out of your body and just breathing in enough, breathing in worthiness, breathing in abundance, breathing in enough, breathing in worthiness, breathing in abundance, breathing in enough, breathing in worthiness, breathing in abundance. Breathing in enough, breathing in worthiness, breathing in abundance. And everywhere that we've left ourselves, everywhere that someone else has left us, everywhere you thought you did something wrong, everywhere you made yourself wrong, every version that's playing out around you leaving you, someone else leaving you, you leaving someone, all versions of that, just exhaling that out of your body and just breathing in truth, breathing in light, breathing in love, breathing in self-love, and breathing in you, and breathing in truth, breathing in light, breathing in love, breathing in self-love, breathing in you, and breathing in truth, breathing in light, breathing in love, breathing in self-love, and breathing in you. Breathing in truth, breathing in light, breathing in love, and breathing in self-love, and breathing in you. And just slowly feeling your energy coming back into your body, feeling your feet nice and flat on the floor. And just taking a nice, deep breath. And with that, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Truth Talk. As a reminder, I have my Living in Your Truth guide. And again, this is a 12-month guide, one step per month, that's meant to help you to move towards more truth in your life. That's meant to help you to own your worth and own what you truly deserve and own all pieces of what's calling to you, what you're feeling called towards, to be able to move towards that. And so, I always love hearing from my audience. If you have a comment on the show or would like to introduce yourself, you can definitely send me a note on the contact page of my website at deborahacker.com. I also offer, I very rarely mention this, but I also do discovery calls. So if you're looking to, it's a pattern identification discovery call. So if you're looking to identify some of the patterns that are holding you back and you're interested in possibly, you know, you're curious about what it might be like to work together and you're interested in possibly taking this work further, you can also contact me on the contact page of my website at deborahacker.com. And that's just deborahacker.com. And make sure to tune in 2 weeks as I will be talking with Mei Vu, who is all about big, real, juicy love. So in the meantime, I hope you have a great week and I look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Tune into Truth Talk Radio every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the truth of who you are and who you came here to be. Each week, Deb interviews an inspiring guest and illuminates the truth to a wide range of topics, including love, life, purpose, career, consciousness, and abundance. Welcome to the world of infinite possibilities. For more information about Deb, including how to contact or work with her, visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com. Look forward to seeing you next week for more Truth Talk Radio.